Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Gospel for Grandparent Radios. Listeners, we are here to glorify the Lord. We are here to glorify the Almighty King. Now, before I can even go far, I'd like to introduce myself to you on this beautiful, beautiful gospel session. I am Masego Malapile, and I am a confidence coach and also a program director for Yellow on Air. So now, I do not always go alone. Like Jesus Christ, who was accompanied by the disciples, so am I. Like the Holy Spirit was also accompanied by the Father and the Son, so am I. And today I am not alone. I am with a beautiful Sesh and a beautiful Michelle, who are going to introduce themselves before we can kickstart on the program that we have on this beautiful day. And today we are talking about youth survival skills, parentless society. This is a topic that we all need to speak about, that we all need to engage more on. And also, we need to know what the Holy Spirit is saying about this topic today. Before I can read you a brief research that we did about this topic, I'd like our beautiful, two beautiful crew, Serge and Michelle, to introduce themselves. Let me start with Michelle.
Thank you, Masehu. Hi, everybody. I'm Michelle De Beer. I'm very privileged to be on the show tonight, and I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Awesome, 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 Serge.
Good day, Gospel for Grampian listeners. I am Serge Nick Phillips, and I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for our beautiful crew that introduced themselves. Now, there's something that I want us to talk about today. And today we're talking about youth survival skills, a parentless society. Before I can read about the research that we did on this topic, Serge, do you have anything to say about when you hear this topic, youth survival skills, parentless society, what's the first thing that comes in your mind?
Thank you so much, Maseko. The thing is, it is a true and very sad reality that in today's day and age, there are many youth out there that are living in a parentless society, either because they do not have parents around them, or if they do have parents around, they are just not getting the time, love, encouragement, and emotional support that they need, because parents are either too busy pursuing their dreams, or perhaps they're juggling like many things. That time is not spent with the youth, and a time which the youth so earnestly desire from their parents.
And would you agree that the times that we live in now have changed from in the olden days? In the olden days, parents had time for their children to guide them according to the values and the norms of the household. So in this case, do you think that the times that we live in now, do we have that?
Absolutely not. Times have definitely changed, because before, parents would be guiding their kids, you know, and when they are sent off to school, the teachers were seen as parents at school. Whereas nowadays, parents, because of the youth out there, just have their own thought about certain things, and really, parents don't even know how to like sort of control the kids out there. And furthermore, the teachers like don't even want to discipline the kids because they're afraid of being tortured. There was I'm actually reminded of a recent situation where kids at a high school planned on putting petrol on one of the teacher's vehicles and actually burnt it, trying to kill the teacher, you know. But luckily the teacher was not in the vehicle when that happened. So yes, the times have definitely changed.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Gospel for Grampians, European Gospel Radio listeners, Generation Z are growing up in the absence of parents. It's a sad reality, as Sesh has been explaining. While many have parents are busy earning a living and climbing their own corporate ladder of success and trying to build a financial nest for the families and self. That children need to self-develop themselves, or rather children are now forced to develop themselves, or they are now self-trained. While adults have the training manual of parenting, many are still trying to juggle work, domestic duties, parenting, and career paths. Parents in the era both working and in the reality is that we do not give our kids the full attention that they need now more than ever. Now, crew, what guidance would you give to these parents? I think we've already heard Sesh told us about the example of what happened to the teacher's car where it was burned down, if parents spend more time grooming their children, they are more likely to behave according to the values of the household, because now parents are ensuring that those values are embedded in their children. And the generation that we have now, particularly if we speak about Generation Z, I personally teach Generation Z. They are liberated, open-minded. They are moving faster than us. They're exposed to things that even we are not exposed to, and they challenge everything that they come across. So Michelle, tell me, what is your opinion on this one? When we speak about parents that are having too much time fighting for their careers, making sure that they have food on the table, their kids can wear the labels that they want to wear at the price of letting their children to be self-trained and self-taught. What's your opinion on that?
Shan, thank you so much, Masekhu. Yeah, parentless society is a very heartfelt topic for me because I'm a mom myself. So for me, as a parent and a mom, I can definitely assure you I try also my best to be at every school or sport function. I try and work, earn an income, and still be there for her and, you know, her needs, do homework or tasks. I can see what it does to her or any kid when we miss a sport or a hockey game, or we can't attend a school function. It breaks their hearts. And they don't understand why. But I mean, we as parents, our why is obviously it's our income, and it is just as important. We need to provide for our children's physical, mental, emotional health. So luckily I work for myself and I can wrangle my time around our personal life, which makes us so privileged as family. But I think mentally, this is a very important state, and this makes or breaks children of today. Children need their parents more than anything. Children with absent parents undergo low academic achievements. It is our job to look after our children, teach them and guide them. Help them with task or homework. We need to create balance. Also, one of the things are lack of self-esteem. You know, having absent parents, children experience this in their early childhood. If you don't fit in at school, difficulty meeting your parents' expectations, parents are not being around. It's truly difficult. But I believe kids grow up very lonely, some fearless, others emotionally cracked. But yeah, for me, I can't really imagine how life should be without parents being involved. But at the end of the day, it is making a living. You know, we should provide for our kids emotionally, physically, be there for them. Thank you, Ms. Efu.
Thank you so much, Michelle. You just reminded me of something, that everything that we do as parents and as children comes at a price. One of the motivational talks or motivational speakers that I came across in the past week said that it's so funny how we say we want something, yet we want something else. You say that you want to make money. You say that you want to be at this level. You say that this is the lifestyle that the family needs to live in. But you forget the price that you pay for you to get that. Then you come back and you say you want to spend more time with your family, you want to spend more time with your kids, but the price of spending more time with your kids is the dream of living the lifestyle that you would want to live. Would you agree, Michelle?
Yes, I would definitely agree to that, because we don't want our kids to grow up knowing that finances or money is happiness or love. So we need to balance. You need balance in your life to provide and still have family time to love them, give them what they need. And I mean, children do adapt. So as soon as you have balance, they know when is work time and when is family time, and you can stick to that, you will definitely have a very healthy family.
Listeners, I want you to take note of this word, balance. Take this word, put it in the back of your mind, because we're going to talk about it. This balance mechanism. Now, crew, today we're going to talk about the survival skills also for children. It might seem a bit brash using the word survival skills, but it's actually true. People in ministry put their vision of serving God above their families. Parents who don't want to live off their children when retired build for retirement and neglect the family. It's true, right? Teachers have become more lecturers as opposed to parents at schools, as opposed to Generation X and Y growing up. In our days of growing up, our teachers were deemed parents away from home. And if we dare complain about our teachers, we were in trouble by our parents. Nowadays, teachers keep their distance. In fact, they're even afraid to reprimand the kids at school. They're like lecturers coming to a class, teach on the subject, disappear, and if a rebellious child attacks them, they couldn't be bothered. Youth are having to find their way growing up, and that is the problem. But in this environment, we just painted a picture of the status quo of a parentless society. Now we need to talk about the survival skills of the youth that is living in the parentless society. Youth Ecru, putting yourself in youth's position and still having experience, please give practical guidelines on how to youth as a self grow successfully in this era, have the ability to choose what to hear, apply, and share in order to live sustainably in a social footprint. When youth are in a position of positive influence, they feel accepted, and strive to grow in a positive way in order to be heard and welcomed. Whereas youth who are living in a negative influence cannot discern evil from good, right from wrong, and use information guidance recklessly to feed their negativity. Hence, we call this survival skills. Guide kids what to do with this information, the environment, social media, everything, all the changes that are happening around them. At times, you need a parent to teach you or to groom you on what is it that you need to do with so much information that is coming to you. Ecru, let's start with the survival skills. What guidance or what survival skills can we give to our youth today? Let me start with Sesh.
Oh, thank you so much, Maseko. So the parentless society, I find that the youth out there, or can I say children out there, turn to things and they sort of get involved and caught up in unhealthy things like using social media negatively. They get involved with drugs, alcohol, sexual relationships, and also become part of gangs, occultic clubs, where they find themselves conducting certain acts that they probably didn't even imagine they would even be a part of, such as stealing, you know, conducting murders and more. And they do this just to sort of feel loved, to be a part of something, and to be a part of a family. Some go so far into these acts that they feel they are so deep already, and there's no way to get out of it. They feel totally helpless, and they feel like there's no hope. But I just want to say to you out there today, do not allow the devil to lie to you and make you believe that you have sinned too much and there's no hope and forgiveness for you, because that is not true. Okay, I just want to encourage you with what the Bible says before we can continue. So having a look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Praise God for that. The second one that speaks about sin is 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "My little children, these things are right to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation," which means the act of appeasing, "for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." The next is a scripture about hope. I promise I'm going somewhere with this. I just find these scriptures very important and relevant that we're going to be getting into. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18, it says, "And there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Now, this verse says that there is nothing, no person, no situation, no life event that can cut you off from the hope that God has for you and your life. And lastly, forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew chapter 12 verse 31 says, therefore I say to you, every sin will be forgiven. Now that we have set that foundation on the latter, when we expose to negative information, whether it be from social media platforms, TV, friends, and even family, we need to ask ourselves the question, is this information in alignment with the Word of God? If not, then we need to protect ourselves by letting go of that information and moving away from hearing such things. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to 27, the Bible details the different gates, that is our eye gate, ear gate, etc., and the importance of guarding our hearts by being careful where we go, what we watch, and what we say, and what we hear. By guarding these gates that I've just mentioned, we can protect ourselves from harm and live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, the ears are the gate of hearing. We need to fill our ears with positive and uplifting messages that will edify our souls. We need to be selective about what we listen to and avoid listening to things that would hurt or damage our faith. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, it tells us to be careful what we hear, especially sound instruction. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Amen. We need to also be careful about what we allow into our eyesight, because The eyes are the gate of sight. And when we watch too much violence or negativity, we can damage our hearts and minds. So we should fill our vision rather with positive and uplifting images that will edify our souls opposed to destroying. The Bible tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as it states in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And if you are not sure about the information that you are exposed to, then remember that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I know sometimes, you know, we lean in our own understanding, trying to understand everything, and we forget to just lean on Jesus, just lean on him, lean on his understanding, acknowledge him, acknowledge his ways, and he will direct our every path in every area of our life. Furthermore, expose yourself to positive, encouraging, and uplifting advice through insightful and informative teachings by example, YouTube channel, radio stations, and even books, you know, good books where you can get positive information from. When we look at a toxic environment, when we're exposed to a toxic environment, there's where there's like substance abuse, violence, bullying, rowdiness, backbiting, etc., we must choose not to be involved in such. And we must remember that John chapter 17, verse 16 says, we are not of this world. Yes, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. Being of this world refers to following the unbelieving world's values, their beliefs and conducts. Now, Christians are not to share in these kind of things. Instead, we are to follow Christ's word and reflect it by our words and actions. When we have a look at John chapter 15, verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." In order to protect yourself from this kind of environment, perhaps you can listen to clean and godly music, spend time in the Word of God, pray, of course, create a positive, happy, peaceful atmosphere, perhaps in your room or your home, by getting creative and adding something like little sticky notes, you know, of your favorite Bible verses in your room, so it helps remind you of the Word of God and where you would be able to build your faith every time you look at it. You can also do something like think about your goals, you know, goals in life, and let that motivate you to sort of make a vision board and put it up in your room. So that could be something that can work as well. Lastly, when we're exposed to a bad social setting, let us remind ourselves that, you know, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Now, let us be selective and intentional with the friends and the people we allow in our inner circle. That's very important. Instead of being in or wanting to be a part of a group that is toxic, rather look into being a part of a group where you will enhance and be cultivated, such as a sport group like the gym or dance class. Look at joining a church home group, cell group, you know, youth and young adult group at church, a group that will help you to be the best version of yourself. Thank you so much, Ms. Echo.
Thank you so much. Can you please repeat those scriptures again so that our listeners can write them down and go back, read and meditate so that they can be consumed by the Word of God? I mean, you shared such insightful wisdom. I mean, when you speak about guarding the gates of information that is entering through our lives, because the Bible, the Word of God says, out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth shall speak. So when you don't guard what comes in, then the mouth will take out what you consume continuously. Can you please share the scriptures again so that our listeners in European Gospel Radio and Gospel for Grampians can 100% write them down and meditate upon this?
Yes, absolutely. So looking back at where I mentioned negative information, the scriptures there is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to 27, where the Bible speaks about the different gates, that's the eye gate and the ear gate, etc. The next scripture on that is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, where it tells us to be careful what we hear, especially sound instruction. The next one is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where we should keep our eyes on Jesus. And then Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, where it speaks about trusting in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And furthermore, John chapter 17, verse 16, where it speaks about we are not of this world. John chapter 15, verse 18, where it speaks about if the world hates you, you know that it hated Christ before it hated us. And then lastly, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, where it speaks about us walking with the wise. So he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but companions of fools will be destroyed.
Amazing, amazing, amazing search. Listeners, you've heard it. These are, you already have three survival skills that I need you to just take it in. Just take it in, meditate upon it, and do not take what we're speaking about today for granted. The three skills are, the first one is guard the information that you take in. It will contribute to what lies within your heart, and from there, your mouth will speak. Secondly, be careful of the company that you keep, because they say bad company corrupts good character. It's a proverb, old proverb saying. And thirdly, be confident in your identity in Christ, knowing that the world hated him first before it hated you. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You actually reminded me, actually, one of the things that you spoke about when you started is about grace. Just because of the world or many people have fallen into sin, they think that they cannot come back to Christ and look for the grace of God and look for the blood of Jesus to wash them. And this reminded me of a song by Natalie Grant, Clean. If you listen to that song, it speaks about washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Is one of the verses in that song. It says, your blood flows red and it makes me white. It makes me white. You know, you feel purified when you go to God and you ask for forgiveness, meaning that we are not speaking to you, or you're not listening to us right now on your way to I am clean, but rather you're listening to us on your way of I'm looking for salvation, I'm looking for Jesus Christ, and I want to be born again and belong to the word of God and belong to God himself. So we are saying to you that Jesus Christ is encouraging you to come back to him and be groomed and learn all the wisdom and learn everything that he wants to give you with his very own mouth. Michelle, what are the survival skills? We already have four, actually. The first one is go seek the mercy and the grace of God. Secondly, guard the doors, your spiritual doors being your eyes, your ears, everything, what you watch, what you say, who you keep your company, also be cognizant of the company that you keep. And also lastly, I forgot the last one. But then I'm pretty sure you will remind me, Michelle. Because when the Holy Spirit is in you, you're out of your mind. You have that out-of-body experience. Michelle, what other survival skills can we teach our listeners on this beautiful morning and evening?
Musehu, this is such a difficult topic as we were kids once before, but it was such difficult times now. We grew up in such beautiful time. But before I get to my survival kids, survival skills, children should hang in there. I think they should talk to their parents, you know, have an open relationship with them. There's a time to work and there's family time, obviously. I actually don't know what is worse, parents who work 24/7 or parents that doesn't have a job and they actually can't provide. So, this is such a heartfelt topic because it's not easy as a kid to deal with such things. I mean, they obviously don't understand why we need to work. But some survival skills, I know it's not easy, but I believe you should align yourself with God. Talk to your teacher, your friends, or even family. Be honest with them. Be honest with yourself. Don't be lonely. Pray. Write in your journal. When I was a child, I used to have a beautiful, colorful journal where I would just write in how I feel, my Bible verses, and it actually kept me busy and I got stuff out of my heart. So I would definitely say pray, write in your journal. Like Serge said, don't fall into peer pressure or don't let anyone bully you. Don't believe social media. I promise you, it's not as beautiful as it looks. I mean, you can even say if you post a photo, you pick the most perfect one, and it's not even the real deal. That's how we edit our photos. Stay mentally healthy. Go for a run. Deal with your situation. Don't sweep whatever is going on under the carpet. Understand circumstances. Look up to your working parents. Talk to them to how you feel. Share your feelings with them. It's always good to sit down and talk to them. It doesn't help you just run away. Be good, help around the house, pray together, make a meal together. Become a team with your family. Be understanding, help each other, love each other. Don't run off. It's not worth it. For our hardworking parents out there, be part of your children's life while busy in your 24/7 working environment. Take a step back, sort them out first before running off to your 24/7 job. Make sure of their needs. You need a happy home. God won't put something on your path that is not meant to be. The end results will be so worth it. I just want to read you two verses that I want to share with you. In 1 John 3 verse 18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." And that's where I feel the honesty comes in, to be honest with each other and sit and talk and sort everyone out before running off. In 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, "For even when we were with you, you gave this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." So yes, it is very important to wake up and work, but it's also very important, like what in 1 John verse 3:18, to not love with words, but with actions and in truth. So this is amazing. Thank you, Masehu.
Thank you very much. I like the fact that you spoke about communication between parents and children. I mean, if we are speaking about an environment where we say that it's a parentless environment and we're giving our youth the survival skills and survival tool, I find it quite, it's actually wise that we're even speaking about the term communication, where now parents need to speak to their children need to speak to their parents, because at the end of the day, we need each other in this case. Now, I want us to do a quick role play, just a quick role play for our listeners to see what is it that we talk about, what is expected. In this case, Michelle is the child and Serge is the parents. Ladies, are you ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Serge, our parent, mommy Serge, are you ready?
No. What are we going to do? What's the role play about?
So in this case, you are a working parent who has so much to do, a single mother who runs a big company.
Okay.
Now, your priority in your mind is that you have to feed the child. There's so much in social media about this label, that brand, that holiday, that trip, that school. So you want, according to you, being a good parent is giving your kids all of that. And Michelle is the child who needs way more than what you think you're giving them. So we are going to start with Michelle being the child, initiating a conversation with you as the parent on how she has more needs than just a label and social media life, you know, social media lifestyle, the one that deceives most.
Yes.
This one. Yeah. Michelle, you being the child, speak to your parent.
Mom, Serge.
Hi, baby girl.
Tonight for dinner, I feel like hamburgers. And tomorrow for school, we need a picnic basket and I need to pay 20 rand. And also, it's photo day, so I don't know what we should do, because I really want to do all of this.
Okay, I don't see any problem with that. So we'll sort that out. I just quickly need to get some of work out of the way. I've just got a deadline quickly, but... I will make sure that I'll get that sorted out. Just give me a couple of hours. I'll get that done.
Thank you so much, Mom. And before I forget, I need a few things from the shop because I have a task tomorrow that needs to be handed in.
Oh no, baby girl, why didn't you tell me about this sooner? You know, I've got so many things that I need to deal with. What do you need? What is it that you need?
I'm so sorry, Mom, but I'm sure I will quickly look at home what there is and what we need, then I'll just send you a list of all the stuff that I need for tomorrow's task.
Okay, baby girl. It's okay. I really don't like hearing you sound so sad and down. How about this? Let mommy quickly finish up my work. If you can give me an hour and a half, there's still time where the shop will be open. And how about we both go together? We both go together. You create the list in the meanwhile, and then we go together and we buy the things that you need. How does that sound, babe?
Thank you so much, Mom. I can't wait. I will definitely see you just now.
Can I just say,
so the role play we saw now is in such a perfect world. Now I want Michelle to be a Gen Z, typical Gen Z child who lacks no understanding, who doesn't understand anything. And Michelle will be that mom, that strict mom, yet who doesn't have time for the kids, but is a strict mom. So, Sesh, you are the child, a typical Gen Z child, and now you need to make demands and requests. Now, we need to see the Holy Spirit. My friends who have kids always say that if there's one thing that can test whether or not you have God in you, is a child. So I want you to test that God in her, so that we can see the Holy Spirit in full proximity in this role play. So this time around, you are the child, and Michelle, you are the mom. Sesh, you are the demander. You can start.
Awesome. Mom, you know, I've been asking you for this new phone because my phone is like really small and I can barely see anything. Like, it has so many issues that I'm dealing with, and like, you know, going to school and things like that, all my friends are looking at my phone and asking me like, Where did this phone come from? Like, when am I going to get a new phone? There's just too much of pressure. Like, Mom, please, can you tell me when are you going to get me a new phone so I don't have to face and be so embarrassed around my friends?
My beautiful Serge, I told you before that we need to save. We're working on a strict budget before you can get another phone. I'm sure you can work around that. You know, in today's life, it's not easy. And maybe we can think about getting you a phone for your birthday next year. But it's definitely
but
not
Mom,
that.
That's next year. That's going to be a long time from now. How am I going to be able to cope and survive? This is horrible. I mean, I'm sure you can make a plan. Perhaps you can take a loan or something. Please, for your amazing daughter.
Honey, I'm sure we can work around that, but I'm definitely telling you now that we do not have the finances. And if I have to take a loan, I'll get a loan to fix something around the house. I'm definitely not going to let your friends peer pressure you to have a new phone. So I think work with what you have. For now, hang in there and look forward to your birthday or maybe as a Christmas gift. But I'm not going to buy you the biggest, nicest, most expensive cell phone just because of your friends. We live our own life and we have our own budget.
But Mom, that's totally unfair. That's really unfair because now... you know, we've got a party that's coming up. I need new clothes. I don't have any nice clothes. I mean, everyone's going to the party. They're going to be having cool clothes to wear, awesome shoes, and amazing phones. And here I'm going to go with whatever clothes I have in my cupboard, which I've already worn for the previous party. I mean, why don't you understand me?
Oh, beautiful. I'm sure we can buy you a new outfit. That won't be a problem. But I'm definitely not buying you crop tops or weird looking clothes because God doesn't want us to show our belly buttons to the world. So you can get a new outfit if it's a decent, beautiful, perfect outfit you can wear again. Okay.
Oh, Mom, I just feel like I am living under a rock.
Wow, wonderful ladies. This is exactly how the society is this nowadays. I mean, if you have conversations with most parents, there's so much deception that especially Gen Z will come with, and they think they can parent the parent. Even if the parents are present, even if the parents are available, even if the parents still groom them, but there's still deception that they get from school and social media that they can use against you. Like, mom, oh, mom, I feel like the world is coming to an end. Mom, I feel like I cannot do this. Mom, this, mom, that. And no matter how many no's you can say to your child, because of that guilty conscience that they somewhere, somehow, they managed to sneak in your heart, you are able to buy them what you just said you cannot afford. And that's the sad reality of the society that we live in this day and age. Yes, the world is parentless, that we agree, but our kids are becoming more advanced, and they're becoming more advanced than parents, meaning that they even think that they can parent the parent, even though the parent is present and the parent is around. And that's not the society that we'd like to live in. That's not the society that we'd like to actually find ourselves raising our grandchildren in. So parents, we need to make sure that we teach our kids particularly about the identity that they have in Christ. Just because the world is doing something, it doesn't mean they need to do it too. And we also need to teach our children to stand for themselves. Let them hate you, my child. You'll be the trendsetter, wearing Jesus Christ right on your chest and owning him, owning the blood of Jesus, owning the Holy Spirit without any shame whatsoever. And that is what we need to teach our children, and we need to start doing that at an early age. Otherwise, in my language, we say that if you do not teach your child at home, those at the streets will teach them how to live. And all of a sudden, they'll start behaving according to the rules that even you yourself don't know. Then it becomes more and more difficult for you to raise your child in a perfect or in a right way, so to speak. So before we can close off, Sash, do you have quick parting words?
I'd just like to say thank you so much for listening. I hope that everything that was said is an encouragement to you. Remember that Christ Jesus loves you. And if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, love and adore you, thinks the world about you, thinks that you are to die for, and therefore he died for you, then do not let anyone say whatever they want to you to get you down, or to don't let anything to get you in the wrong path of life. Just stick to Christ Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Thank you so much.
Amen. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Michelle, any parting words for our listeners?
Yes, Masehu, I would definitely tell our listeners that I really hope that our conversation for today would help both children and parents in today's society, because I know it is not easy. But just remember, become a team with your family. Talk to each other, have balance, sort each other out first before running to all your needs. Put God first in your home, in your house, and I promise you everything will work out according to God's will. Be there for each other, don't backstab each other, don't run off. Love each other, care for each other, be there for each other, and just always remember, love wins. So I would definitely encourage you to try these survival skills and just be there for each other. Thank you, Masehu.
Thank you very much. Yes, European Gospel Radio listeners and Gospel for Grampians, it's top of the morning, 10 a.m. on a Sunday, and it's also Monday. Depending on where you're listening to us or at what time you're listening to us, we hope that you did enjoy the show that we have today. I am Masego Malapile, I'm the confidence coach, and I'm a public speaking coach. I will share my details with you most probably in the next episodes, but just to let you know, this is our second episode as Yellow on Air, and we hope you are enjoying listening to us, you're enjoying the creativity in the room. As you will see, we had a mother and a daughter that were acting and showing, displaying the real reality that we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. We do hope that you keep on listening, tuning in, and making sure that you are grabbing your pen and paper, writing down all the scriptures and all the nuggets of wisdom that we have for today, because we are not speaking on our own. We are speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, thus says the Lord. So thank you for tuning in on Yellow on Air. Thank you for listening to us. Yes, we will see you again next time on episode 3, and we do hope that you'll be tuning in, listening, enjoying. Messiah's greetings to all of you.
Hello, youth. It's Angelina from Women of Africa Care. I'm the founder and visionary of the Friends Program, where the Yellow Program has been launched. A big thank you to Amasejo and Sershi and Michelle for a great program today. If I can just add to what they've been saying, because we are talking about survival skills for youth in this current day that we're living in, I want to just answer some of the questions that the youth asked us in June. And I thought those are sort of questions being answered, sort of some of the solutions in terms of survival skills. One of the questions you asked us, youth, was how do we condition our mind to not compete for popularity? Well, Galatians 5:23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So one of your survival skills is spend time with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he sticks closer than a friend, and you can trust him. Another scripture is Deuteronomy 28:13. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll always be at the top and never at the bottom. So when you spend time with God, he makes you to be on the top. So why compete? You don't have to compete when you are the best. When you've got God on your side and in him you live, move, and have your being, you'll always be above everybody else. There is no reason to compete when you make God the center of your life. I love this one. 1 John 2:16. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So survival skills in this current day and age, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is it not the father of the world? Hey, but it is of the world, not of God. God is not lust. God is not pride. The world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Why compete with the world? Because that is falling away. It's perishing. It's damned. Do not even think about competing with the world, because it is a now showcase, but eventually in time it passes away and perishes. I love this one. James 3:14-18. Don't live in jealousy and envy. Live in harmony and peace. Survival skill 101. Don't live in jealousy and envy. Live in harmony and peace. When you compete for popularity, you're gonna live in jealousy and you're gonna live in envy. And James 3:14-18 gives you counsel how to live in harmony and peace. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly and spiritual and demonic. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So as part of joining our crew today and encouraging you on survival skills, how you overcome competing with popularity is by spending time with the Holy Spirit. One is by making the Lord the center of your life, so you're the head and not the tail. Is by walking in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And is by embracing the peace of God and the harmony of God. In that way, you won't have to live in jealousy and envy. As we end episode 2, I would like to add to what our beautiful Michelle and Masejo and Sershni has said today and encourage you, youth, with a survival skill that overcomes every situation. And that is the love language of heaven. And that is found in 1 Corinthians 4:12. That is the love language. And if everybody has to adopt this scripture, I believe there will be peace on earth as it is in heaven. There will be joy on earth as it is in heaven, because everything about God is love. And when we allow his love to be immersed in us and saturated in us, then no challenge in school or in home can affect you. That is one of the key survival tools to live healthy and peacefully on the earth in this time. It is the love of God. And how you embrace the love of God, you'll know you have the love of God when you exhibit patience, because the word of God says love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, love is not proud, it does not dishonor others. I remembered what Sershni was saying, love doesn't backbite, it doesn't bring people down, it doesn't dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, love is not selfish. So if you're a youth and you're thinking it's all about my needs, me, myself, and I, then you don't understand the love of God. When you begin to embrace the love of God, you no longer become self-seeking. You become others-focused. Love is not easily angered. Love doesn't keep record of wrong. It doesn't keep going to mom and say, but mom, you did this, but mom, you did that, but dad, you did this. 10 years later, you're still talking about what dad did 10 years ago or what mom did 10 years ago. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. That is the love of God. I encourage you, youth, today. I know it is difficult, and it's difficult to trust people when you've been broken, when you've been hurt, when your family's not there for you, when your mom and dad are too busy because they're trying to earn a living so that you long-term can have an education and have food and clothing and shelter. So they try and work hard, and they think they're working hard means that is an expression of love for you. Meanwhile, you are needing their attention. You are needing their affection. You are needing time with them, and you can't get that. There's another way you can get it. It is the perfect love of God. The Word of God says that human love is like a filthy rag compared to the love of the Father, which is, it is pure, it is perfect. And when you embrace that love, you will lack nothing. You will never become needy anymore, because God loves makes you become others focused and not self focused. So I encourage you, youth, today, if you're feeling that you have a love deficiency, if you're feeling that your love tank is empty, go and tap into 1 Corinthians 4:4-12. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 to 12. Embrace that and say to yourself, I am love. I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not proud. I do not dishonor others. I am not self-seeking. I am not easily angered. I do not keep any record of wrongs. I do not delight in evil, but I rejoice in the truth. I protect, I trust, I hope, and I always persevere. That is who I am. I am God's love, because God's love has been shed abroad in my heart. When you begin to confess that, you begin to understand the love of the Father. You begin to be drawn to that love of the Father, and you no longer end up becoming a victim of the absence of love. You no longer become a victim in this world. You become victorious, and you realize that even if mom and dad are busy and you do not have the attention of them, the Father's love, Abba Father's love, fills you up, and that's more than enough. That is so much that you can even in your home begin to pour out that love towards your family as well. So from us to you, youth, Yellow on Air, have a wonderful week ahead. We love you from Women of Africa Care and the Yellow Crew.
Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I love you forever, forever, forever. You're my King. I'll serve you. I'll serve you forever, forever, with all of my heart, with all my heart. I'll serve you, I'll serve you forever, forever. You're my King. I'll praise you, I'll praise you forever, forever, with all of my heart, with all my I'll praise you forever, 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 forever. You're my King. Yes, you are. Forever, you're my King. Forever, you're my King. Ooh, yes, you are. Forever, you're my King. Forever, you're